I just want to put a little plug in for that movie. It's an awesome movie, and if you haven't seen it, or if you know somebody that's having some marital problems, you need to check that out, because, I mean, it really slaps you in the face. It really tells you where you need to be, not just in your relationship, but with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to also announce that, you know, I can think of a I just want to share with y'all the other day. Justin was in the other room, and he's finally kicked out Daddy. And he's saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And it's always been Mommy, 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 and all the state of emergency. And I'm just, you know, just amazing to hear that. And I know that all the dads can say, you know, they understand that too. But one thing that I was thinking about, and I've been thinking about this message for several weeks now, and then Kenneth and Ray sort of like, you know, but that's okay, because y'all need to hear it again. The other day at the inauguration address, the big, I guess, theme for the whole inauguration speech was hope over fear. And, you know, Ray covered it quite well Sunday, but I wanted to look at something else that would go along with that. But the thing is when you look at the presidents and you look at kings and different leaders, and, you know, they can go up there and they can say all the nice, eloquent things they want to say, and they're going to say all that they want to do. And the truth is, I mean, they don't have, they got financial, or they have the authority to put some money here or do something there. But really, in themselves, there's nothing that they can do to make things better. It's going to be a combined effort between all these people. But the thing that's happened over the years is we've started to look at men and to say, well, you know, and I really felt that at the inauguration, was this man is going to fix our problems. He is going to solve everything. And that was the feeling I was getting from the crowd and from everybody else. But when I think about it, you cannot put a man in that place. He is just a man. And, you know, when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a lot of people would have liked to look at him and say, you know, he's just like every other leader, every other king, every other president. He can't, you know, he's just a man. He was a great teacher. He was a great preacher, a good leader. But the truth of the matter is he was much more than a leader, much more than a teacher. He was the God-man. He was the Son of the living God. And he was willing to come to the earth to die for our sins. And I think that as I was studying through, looking at some of these different passages, I was starting to think about, you know, when we face the enemy and when we're facing troubled times, what are we thinking about when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I think that sometimes we have a tendency to forget who he is and the power that he possesses. That as we'll look through the scripture and we'll see different passages. And let me start by, we're going to start with Matthew 8. And what we're going to do is Matthew 8, verse 5. And I'm sure all of y'all know the story, so you probably know it in your head just as well as in the scripture. But it's talking about the Roman centurion who wanted his servant to be healed from the palsy. And he was grievously tormented. Evidently, this was one of the greatest servants he's had, because he was all upset about it. And and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick, and palsy, excuse me. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus say unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I was considering this passage, and I was thinking about the centurion and the care that he had for this servant. And he evidently, I don't know if he was a believer, but the Lord Jesus Christ says that he was a man of great faith. So that might be the possibility that he was. But the thing that I found interesting was that he knew that wherever Jesus was, he could heal his servant from wherever he was. He did not have to. The centurion knew that wherever the Lord Jesus Christ was, he had the authority to make that servant well where he was at. And he knew that. He understood that he had the power to do this. But it was interesting when the Lord said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I'm thinking of that, and I'm thinking, well, this centurion, who is a Roman citizen, who is, Rome for the rulers and all that stuff, he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed that he had the power to do that. But it says that he had so great a faith that the Lord said, excuse me, the Lord said, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ said himself, even the people that were in Israel who were God's people didn't have as strong a faith as what this man had. He understood something about the Lord Jesus Christ that even the people that supposed to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't understand. They didn't get the faith part of this. And they didn't completely understand his power. And then in Colossians 1:16, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and about everything that's created. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he before all things, and by him all things consist. So everything was created for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was created by him, and it was created for him. And so when I looked at the passage, I'm thinking, there's nothing in our life, marital issues, and just this is where when I was listening to Ray the other day, there's nothing in your life that you're going to face that the Lord Jesus Christ does not have the power over. He is over everything. And so when we look through here, I'm going to talk to y'all about some of the areas where the Lord Jesus Christ showed his power and would say, well, I believe it by faith, but you know what? I can believe it by the word because I saw it in the word. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He is this powerful. He can do this. And we'll go through and we're going to look at some of these different aspects of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. First of all, I was going to look at the power of over sicknesses or ailments. And I thought it was interesting that in Matthew 15:30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. And so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now, when me and Ray Clark had studied this a while before, it was there were several instances where we see the Lord Jesus Christ being followed by these group of people. And yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave great sermons, but that ain't the only reason that people were following him. They wanted their relatives healed. They wanted their loved ones healed. They wanted everybody to be well. And the Lord Jesus Christ had that ability. He could speak a word and you were healed. It's as clear as that. And I know that sometimes, you know, when we're in our situation with somebody that's facing death, sickness, or whatever, we go and we think it's hard right at that moment to connect to the Lord. You know, Satan's wanting to keep you from him. Doesn't want you to talk to him. Does not want you to pray. He doesn't want you he wants you to sit in your misery and your rut and worry about what's going on with your friend or your family member or your own personal self and say, you know, there's nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ can do for me. And the truth is that there is. He can heal. He healed back then. He can heal today just as much as he did back then. It's as real today as it was back then. And it's in Matthew 20:30, he also goes on and he meets these two blind men. And he's sitting by the wayside, and when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. And I was thinking about when we have ailments, and I know that, you know, sometimes we get frustrated because we think that, you know, hey, we're supposed to pray this prayer, and I'm supposed to get up and go. But then the other thing is, God has, it's got to be in his will, and we got to make sure that there's no sin that is causing that ailment. But can the Lord heal just as he did back then? He did, and he can do it now. And I know that, you know, no disrespect to doctors, but I know that there's a lot of people that put their trust in them. But, I mean, I think that there's a lot to be said for the power of prayer and being able to go in and pray for somebody, pray with somebody. And, I mean, I've seen instances where somebody was in a very bad situation and you go in and pray for them and 2 days later they're doing better. And I know that, you know, you say, well, no, that's because he took the medicine that the doctor gave him and he got better. Well, no, it's not just that. Because there's been some people that have been some pretty tough cases. I bet Sam can tell you some pretty tough cases that he probably thought, well, man, this ain't going to pull through. And then, you know, it's miraculous. It's a miracle. I mean, I've heard stories on the news where, you know, some lady was in a coma and people were praying for her and coming in and praying continually. And then, amazingly, she came out of the coma. So, I mean, what is going on back then is just as sure as today. And that's, I mean, we need to keep that in mind. We need to have the faith that the centurion had, that no matter what our situation as far as illness is concerned, the Lord can provide, he can heal us, and his power is as good today as it was 2,000 years ago. And I'm giving a very short message. I'm very nervous. The next thing I wanted to look at is the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had over the elements. And I was thinking about the different ways that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just have control over for sicknesses, but over the elements. And I was thinking, of course, of the storm. But, you know, there's also the case where he fed 5,000 with a handful of fishes and some bread. You know, how do you do that? I mean, unless you got a really, really, really small little piece of fish, it didn't happen just you know, by accident, you know, you'd been like microscopic, breaking out little pieces of fish, and wouldn't nobody been happy, they'd have done left, and you wouldn't have 5,000 people to feed. So, and then also you turn the water into wine, which, you know, our understanding is to turn water, you know, water into wine, you got to mix it with this, and you got to do that, and you got to ferment it, and you got to do that. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ did it. He said, go get, you know, go fill up those water containers and bring them here. And it was wine. And the other thing, and I don't know how it happened, but, you know, and all these people, they like to make up stories about how it happened. You know, how did he get across the Red Sea? Oh, it was too low. It was the what is it? What is it? Come on, Neil. You know what it is. When the waves are down. The water was low, and they just walked right across it. Didn't have any problems at all. Everybody wants to make up some. No. God gave them the ability to part the waters. And he parted the waters, and they walked across. As sure as you and me stand here, that's what happened. Because that's what the scripture says. And how in the world he got a coin to be in the mouth of a fish and to be able to go over. And the guy goes to the water, pick up the fish, and pull the coin out to pay the taxes. That's beyond me. But who could go out right now and put their fishing line in the water and pull a fish out with money and it be in there? You know, the Lord had the power. How he did it, I don't know. But he did it. He had the power to do it. And that's what matters. That's what matters. But here we go, and the power of the elements. I wanted to talk especially about Mark 4:36. And I'm sorry I'm going too fast. I need to slow down. It's sad. I'm for some reason, I'm anxious to be done with it. And I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be at all, because it's wonderful what the Lord is, you know, telling me that, you know, because I know there's a lot of times that I doubt him. And I don't mean just doubt him in just a general sense, but doubt his ability, his power to be active in my life. You know, the power to take some Lowe's warehouseman that loaded pickup trucks and make him come over here and share a message with y'all and end up with a job where I'm helping people. It really, I can sell windows, but, you know, helping people does a lot more. You get a lot of gratitude, and the Lord gets the glory from it. So, and I just praise him for that. But anyway, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So here we are, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't know, I know that, I don't want to call out any names, but I know Jeff been on the ocean a whole lot, and I know one time I had went with a couple of fellas deep sea fishing, but I will keep their names anonymous to protect their identities. We went on a deep sea fishing trip, and I have never seen the ocean like this. But we was on there, and the ship was rolling back and forth every which way. It could make some of the mightiest men sick, let me tell you. But we were sitting there, and the more I thought about it, there's no storm, there's no rain, there's no thunder or lightning or anything. This is just the ocean. And I'm sitting here going like this, and I can even remember when we got off the boat. I don't know what was going on, but I was walking down the pier going like, and I wasn't sick. It was, you know, that ear thing, you know, where the fluids and all go which way. But, you know, I was sitting there thinking about, this is really, you know, this is sort of scary, you know. We're moving like this. And there, but then to think on top of it, there's a storm getting going on. Think of the rain at it and the lightning and the thunder, and we don't want to get there, do we? But if we was already going like this and get off the ship, and I was just thinking to myself, we weren't in danger, we weren't in a storm, but if the Lord Jesus Christ had been on the ship with us, he could have said, "Peace, be still," and the ocean would have been flat. It would have been, and I've often wondered, because I joke about with the kids sometimes, but y'all ever seen that movie Jonah? Jonah and the whale, you know, the little, with the, okay, I know y'all read it in the Bible, but the Veggie Tale story of Jonah and the whale, okay? Well, when they took Jonah, it was funny because when they took Jonah out to the ocean, the storm's like, the water's everywhere, the ship's everywhere. And as soon as Jonah hits the water, the water is completely still. And you know, I'm sitting there thinking, how long did it take for everything to go calm? I mean, did it happen like the, I'm sorry, I shouldn't even ask. Did it happen like the cartoon? You know, as soon as Jesus said, "Peace be still," boom, it was flat. I mean, but that's what it says. The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Immediately. And so, I know that we wish the Lord was with us that day, and it was his will that we had our ship. But we did manage to catch a little bit of fish that day, and we got through and survived. So, I just praise the Lord for that. But if the Lord, and you know, you can figure this how you want to. You can figure it as literally on a ship in the middle of the ocean with no land. The Lord Jesus Christ can calm the water. He can do that. As literal as it says it, he can do that. Do you believe it? Like the centurion believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could heal his servant. Do you believe it like that? Do you have that strong of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he can do those things even now? I mean, he, just because he's not in a human body, that doesn't mean he's not all powerful. That doesn't mean that he's not the Son of God. We know that. He's still the Son of God. He's still seated at the right hand of God. And he still is interceding us day after day in whatever situation we might be facing. The next power that I wanted to show was the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had over the demons and the spirits. And I know some people, you know, they're like, "Well, you know, that stuff don't happen no more. There ain't no demons." Well, let me tell you, when you work at mental health. Now, I won't get me wrong. There are some people, and I will tell you, that legitimately have a mental imbalance of some chemical or whatever it is. And I think that some medications help people. But then there's the other group of people that they're taking their medications, but there's still something going on. And I don't know what it is. And I don't. My assumption is it's demons. I truly believe it. I mean, I've sat here and had people praising Jesus up and down, and then the next minute they're cussing at me and just calling me, you know. And I didn't do anything to them, but they're saying these mean things to me. And I mean, their personalities change like that. And I don't think that's something that's wrote in that DSM thingamajig that they have for the doctors to figure out what's wrong with you. I believe that they have demons. And I mean, I've heard people, you say, "Hey, have a nice day," blank, 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 you. They would say this to me. "How are you doing today?" You know, cursing at me. And I'm like, there's something going on here that's more than a medication issue. But, okay, well, let's go on with this Mark 5, because I'm running. I'm on a tangent. Sort of in a way, I guess. And they came over unto the side of the sea and into the country of the Gadarenes. Somebody say it. Them too. And when he come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. All right, let's stop it. No one could tame this man. No one. If he was at John Umstead Hospital, he would be in the padded room with the shackles on the bed. He would be in that room. This man right here. Nobody could deal with him. So instead of dealing with him, they just said, go on to the grave. We don't want to deal with you. You putting us in danger. We don't want to have anything to do with you. Go away. Okay, and then always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. So even demon-possessed people can run and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when we get in here, it starts talking about who was worshiping. It says, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjourn thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. The spirit was worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. He was acknowledging who he was. He says, what have I to do with thee? He says, and the Lord Jesus Christ told him to come out of the man, the unclean spirit, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was... Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine, feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now, you see here, they said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? They knew who they were in front of. They knew who was there. They didn't say, well, this is some human guy named Jesus. They said, this is Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. They believed, and they knew that he was the Son of God. Now, that's just like back at the centurion. In a weird way, they had a belief. They had a belief in Jesus. They knew that Jesus could take and yank them out of this man and do what he wanted to do with them. That's what they said. They were scared of what he was going to do to them. And so instead of... I don't know what else they were thinking he was going to do. I'm assuming that they could, that the Lord Jesus Christ could destroy them right there on the spot. And I don't mean by putting them in 2,000 pigs. I'm talking about destroying them, literally. But the Lord put them, he gave them leave and the unclean spirits. He made them leave this man. And go into the pigs, and they went and did the suicide over the side of the mountain, and demons with them. And I think we talked about that. Let's see. But I know that, you know, some, like, you know, I've talked to a brother about this, like, you know, sometimes my own mom, there's issues that my mom has, and I worry about her. And I can see the Lord when He's working in her life, and I can see when what I believe are some demons coming to tend to her. I mean, I've had my mama stand in front of me and tell me what a great son I am and that I'm wonderful. And then the next minute, literally the next minute, she was saying things to me that moms don't say to the kids. So, to me, that's a demon. That's a demon. You may not agree with me, but that's a demon that hadn't been dealt with. So, and I don't, you know, you don't do the smoke thing and, you know, whatever it is to get them out. You just need to pray for them. Because the only one that, as the scripture says, the only one that has the power is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
None of us have that power. We can say all the nice things we want to, and you can go to all the therapy appointments you want to and have them say all sorts of good things to you. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to be the one that takes care of it.
Amen.
That's it. If I leave, okay. I'm not worrying about the time. That's what y'all told me. But don't worry, we won't be going over. And I think that one thing in the next section we talk about is the power, the Lord Jesus Christ's power over the death, over death. And I think that that's the one thing that, that connects to us the most, because that is, that, but if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no death for you. I mean, no spiritual death. Yes, you'll face a physical death. We're all going to face a physical death eventually, somehow or another. But we don't have to face a spiritual death, because the Lord Jesus Christ, He has the power over death. In Romans 6:3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not be serving sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I was sharing a minute ago, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about, the other day I was riding down the road over here and there's some church and I can't, it was not the best artist rendering of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, but it's a crucifix. And the Lord Jesus Christ is on the crucifix, you know. And then you got people that hold crucifix in their hand and they look at them and they say, man, you know, and they get some sort of spiritual feeling inside and they feel, well, the problem is he's still on the cross. He's not on the cross anymore. And he can't be on the cross. He can't be on the cross. He can't be in the grave. Because if he is, then we're doomed. We have no hope. Everyone here, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, then we have no hope. But the scripture says he does. He does rise from the dead. And that we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Because he was resurrected, we're going to be resurrected. Okay? It's as simple as that. It's not no super duper theological thing. The Lord Jesus Christ died. He rose again from the dead. And because of that, we are going to be able to do that. He is going to do that. He's going to make it so we can rise from the dead. We will have resurrected bodies just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be able to look at him face to face. And it says here, he died under sin once. He died for our sins. If he didn't die and raise again, I'm not saying it right. If he did not die and was resurrected, we would not be able, our sins would not be paid for. If he was still in the grave, then he was just a man. But he's not. He is not in the grave. He is resurrected, and he is at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the Lord Jesus Christ also said, you know, I have the power to give my life, and I have the power to take it up again. So he had the power to be resurrected. He could raise, he raised himself from the dead for us. And so we can sit here in confidence today that no matter what we face, sickness, rough fishing trips, demons, people that we don't quite understand. They're just too far out there. And even death. We can be confident. We can have the faith just like the centurion had, that Jesus Christ had the power. He had the power to heal that servant. It's the same thing. We have the confidence. We have the faith just like the centurion did. And let it not be said that we were like Israel and we didn't have that faith. Don't let it be said, well, you know, hey, that guy's a Christian. And then, but when a torment or something comes in your life, you go, Jesus who? You know, because people are looking at you. What's your faith? I'm going to tell you, Dick Andrews, when Diddy was, you know, getting ready to pass away and all, Dick Andrews came up there, didn't know anybody in my family, and he was praying with us. His faith was that strong. He said, you know, I'm going to pray for him. And we have all these people at Channing Hill praying for it. Okay? But that says a lot for his faith. Not just to me, but for the unbelievers that were standing there as well. So, I mean, you've got to have the faith like the centurion did. Don't have it like the Israel did. You know, because for some reason they didn't have it like the centurion did. He had it. He had the faith. And he knew Christ's power. We should have that same faith. Man, that sounds better than what I wrote here. We should have the confidence in things we say. That's what I said. I said that. But then, what about those that don't know Christ? And I don't know if you know Christ or not. You know, I've been having this big debate with one of my friends is, how do you justify who's saved and who's not? Well, you can look at their fruit and you can determine it. But you know what? If God's working in their life and Jesus is using his power in their life, you'll know it. You'll see it. And the fruit and the tree will, you know, be like one of those orange trees on the orange juice commercial. A big fancy one with all the fruit on it. But anyway, I hope that this has encouraged you, and I hope that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you would come to a saving faith in Him, that you would understand His power and His ability to overthink that you may face in your life.